The peace of Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, here we are, the morning after our big night. It's so unreal, and the truths are still sinking down inside me. Yesterday was such an exciting, great day. I still have a spring in my step and a smile on my face that just won't leave. Yesterday was the answer to all our questions, our concerns, our worries, and our prayers. Yesterday was the culmination of all our years of preparation, of study in the scriptures, and of being formed by Christ himself. I certainly didn't know what to expect last night. I'm sure most of you didn't either. But we heard God's voice loud and clear in this place. And it all came together. And we heard what we should expect. Christ made his will known to us last night in this very place. As we received our call into the holy ministry, so many things just fell into place and it all makes sense, and now we see. But it's not all peaches and cream. No, we've got our work cut out for us. Now that our time of being students is done, it is time for us to be the teachers. Soon we will disperse from this place and serve the Lord in our own and different ways. It is time for us to be the teachers. Some of us will stay in town and continue learning and preaching, and others will go off into the far corners of the known world, and we may never see each other again, at least until Jesus calls us back to his side at the end of days. But wherever we go, we have the privilege of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. Last night, my brother John said to me that it's a joy and privilege that we get to be the witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we already are witnesses of the resurrection of Christ because we have seen Christ with our own eyes. Last night, we also heard the good news of Christ, of our risen Lord, proclaimed by our friends, our visitors from out of town, here in this very place. And what it is, what a glorious gospel that it is that we can share with others as we depart from here. We didn't believe it at first, though. No, what stubborn hearts we truly have. Even after all this time of preparation and formation, even though we saw living proof for ourselves, we still didn't believe. We still needed more proof. I got talking to Peter and Andrew at our banquet last Thursday, and Peter says to me, "You know, James, our professor doesn't know what he's talking about. He's wrong about leaving us. We have to stop him." I have to say, I agreed with Peter. I did not believe our professor. I started thinking of ways to protect him. We tried to take matters into our own hands, but you all know how well that turned out. You would think that those of us who were closest to our great professor, who were in his inner circle, would have recognized his divinity and trusted what he had to say. But no, we're just as susceptible to doubt and mistrust as anybody else. Think back to when our great professor taught those people on the hillside and insisted on feeding them afterwards. Or when he fell asleep in the boat during the storm. How little trust we had. We, who had been studying under our great professor, who knew his ways the best, still doubted his every step. When our professor said last Thursday that someone was going to betray him, I, along with all of you, started bickering and trying to figure out who would be. We didn't even hear his next words. We were all focused on ourselves, not on Christ. Now, I was one of the first to be called by our professor, so I've been studying with him longer than most of you. I'm on the 5-year track. So I have long since been disillusioned to what it all meant. I felt like we're just spinning our wheels here. I felt like I'm so discouraged about all this, because all we're doing is learning and learning and learning, not doing. Once in a great while, we have the opportunity to go out and do something. Remember that time when we got to leave our great professor's presence and he sent us off to share the good news of the kingdom in various cities? That time when we get to kick the dust off our feet? What a great feeling that was. I felt so alive, so useful, so purposeful, so productive. But it didn't last forever. After 1 year on the job, we had to come back to this place and continue learning and following Jesus. And that feeling left. So last night, when Jesus opened our minds, I saw that chapter of my life in greater clarity. My focus had been on me. I got to do stuff outside these walls. I had the authority. I felt good about it. I liked kicking the dust off my feet and saying who got to receive the gospel and who didn't get to receive the gospel. Maybe you too were excited about that. But my focus wasn't on Christ and what he was doing and preaching. My focus was on me, and I ask forgiveness for that. I guess that shows that we're never really done being students. Even as we become the teachers, we will continue to learn and to grow and to make mistakes, and we will continue to be forgiven by Christ. But here, last night, in the presence of the very Word of God, he opened our minds to understand the Scriptures. We didn't do it on our own. No way could we do it on our own. These last few years of listening to Jesus speak, it all came together last night as he opened our minds to the Scriptures. So all those times that he talked about and taught us about Exodus and the Torah, about Isaiah and the prophets, when he talked about the Psalms and writings, Jesus was in all of it. He told us that they all speak about him and his passion, his death and resurrection. All those ancient writings of our forefathers in the faith have their completion in Christ. But what good are these truths if we don't share them? We have received the call to go out and spread this good news. As much as I love being here, being in the presence of you, my brothers and sisters, I will miss each and every one of you. But it is our job to depart from here and preach that good news of our risen Lord. It might mean delivering sermons or Bible studies or devotions. It might mean writing down this good news and sending it to newly planted churches. Or maybe it means walking the streets and building relationships and inviting people to join with us on the weekends, joining around the Scripture and the mutual consolation. Our years of preparation themselves, our years of preparation have their completion in Christ as we finish here and continue his work out there. As we depart to serve our Lord in our various different ways, we will undoubtedly screw up. We will lack the confidence, we will say the wrong things, we will do the wrong things and think the wrong things. And so we will have to ask forgiveness from our congregations. But just as we are called to be servants of Christ, our representatives to the congregations, so also our congregations are the body of Christ, and they can offer us forgiveness. Christ can forgive us because never will he leave us, never will he forsake us. He goes with us in all that we do. But Christ isn't just for the nations out there. He's also for you and for me. You and I have our completion in Christ. Think back a few years before we started following our great professor. How much of a different person were you? Maybe a shorter temper, less patience, more ill will towards others? I know for myself, I was much more disorganized and forgetful. I really didn't care for being a student. I didn't want to learn. I admit it's still hard for me to sit down and read a whole book or read the scroll of Isaiah. But being in the presence of our teacher has changed me. It's turned me into a different person. Not so much a different person, but a better person. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not climbing a ladder towards perfection, but I have been shaped in Christ, and you have too. We are closer to the person that Christ wants us to be. Therefore, we look with even greater anticipation for the time when Jesus comes back to our presence and brings us with him, because we will have perfection and completion in Christ. The whole world will have completion and perfection in Christ as well. So last night Jesus said, "You are the witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Yeah, we're witnesses, but what's this about God promising to send us something? And why do we have to stay in the city? Well, I guess we'll go ahead and stay in town for a little while longer. But let's check back in a couple weeks at the Feast of Pentecost, and we'll see how things are then. Maybe then we can receive whatever this is and send out to the nations. The Lord's peace. Amen.